Hi everyone, welcome to Shag Funk. This is Jade, and it's been 3 months since Toshiro Kuro was here, so...
Yep. I'm back to help you file your taxes quarterly, so you may remain cash solvent. Or, I don't know, I feel a little bad having been like, oh yeah, I'll just be on every 12 weeks, making it seem like I wouldn't be willing to do it any earlier than that, or being weird about it. I don't know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess it worked. Like, last week was supposed to be Brent, but his family has hijacked his life. So, I ended up putting out the last. It's the last part of the story of the Star Wars roleplay. We did already record a postmortem. I haven't received any questions anyway. I don't know how many people. Yeah, like, I don't know how many people have actually kept up with the campaign, but, yeah, no, we've recorded a post-mortem, because I figure the amount of questions we'll get would be, we could just answer them on the forum. We don't need to make a whole another episode for them, probably. So, yeah, and now you're here this week, and...
Yep.
Next week will probably be the post-mortem, though I feel bad having Brent away for this long, especially because I read the comic Spider-Geddon. Ooh. Which, whenever Brent is on again, we're going to be talking about that, because there's a bunch of fun new spider people they invented for that comic.
Is that the one where they bring in Spider's Man?
Yep.
Alright, okay.
Yeah, Spider's Man is, like, the big standout, but there's a few others.
Okay.
In there. So, also, the magical Leopleurodon comes back.
Or
Leopardon. It's like a Sentai Megazord. Spider-Man thing.
Nice.
So, yeah,
well,
but
speaking Marvel.
Yep.
Related.
Yeah, the
topics.
Big thing for this week, Captain Marvel just came out.
Yeah.
And we both saw opening night, so we're both up to date on. We're recording on a Friday, so it's only been out
one night
and part of a day. Yeah. So what do you think of it?
I frankly kind of enjoyed it. I was under the kind of suspicion that it might end up being kind of like a U.S. Air Force commercial sort of thing, what with it being like a main focus. And it kind of was, but it was not nearly as like flagrant or blatant as I thought it might end up being. So, you know, it didn't detract from the movie too hard.
Yeah, like... I wasn't sure what to expect from the movie, because, like, I vaguely know Captain Marvel's origin story and some stuff, but I don't know that much.
I literally didn't know a thing about Captain Marvel going in, and I was like, oh, okay, I can take a shot, because they've had good, you know, origin movies to establish people that people don't really know too heavily about. I mean, that's the bread and butter of the series.
Yeah, and, like, Guardians of the Galaxy was the big one there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for my viewing, it was a little different, because when I went to get tickets from my local theater, which isn't like a big chain, it's just a local, like, regional chain, I found out they were doing an event where if you go to see the first showing of it, they had, they called it Captain Marvel Happy Hour. They had, like, special, because the theater in my town has... like a restaurant in it, basically. Like you go into the theater and you sit down, and then they have a waiter come up to you, and then you can order food. So they had special food and drinks that were relating to Captain Marvel. I just got the usual stuff. I didn't get anything special there. But then they had like trivia, like okay. So they had on
like live trivia, or like one of those tablet game sort of trivia game.
Well, yeah, live trivia, but it was like on the website it just said trivia, so I'm like, okay, I guess they're gonna ask questions and you can win prizes or something. And then when I got into the theater, they just had like on the screen there was like a PowerPoint presentation scrolling of like pictures from Captain Marvel comics and like blurbs about like factoids from Captain Marvel. But then they also had a couple people there from Jetpack Comics, which is a comic store in New Hampshire. It's the next state over. So they had a couple people from there who were there. They were giving out like some of their leftover free comic book day comics. So I got a couple of those. Quick detour, I have to recommend this one called Sparks that I tweeted about. It's this really adorable comic about two cats inside of a robot dog suit. And they are fighting an evil baby who wants to control all the animals in the world with, like, evil mind control rays or something.
Huh.
I've ordered the full volume of it because it was just, like, one chapter for Free Comic Book Day.
Nice.
But, so they were giving out these free comics, and then they occasionally, like, a couple times would, read trivia questions and have people answer them, but most of the trivia questions were answered by the things that they put on the screen, so you didn't actually have to know anything to win. So it was just whoever, like, a bunch of people raised their hands even before the questions were finished getting read. So it's just whoever they felt like picking would get to answer it and know the answer because they were reading it off the screen. Like, one of them was about Goose the Cat. As Goose the Cat was there on the screen, they were asking, like, what's the cat's name? And I thought about raising my hand and saying Chewie, because in the comics, the cat's name is Chewie for Chewbacca. In the movie, they changed it to Goose because it was a Top Gun reference.
But I didn't know it was a Top Gun reference.
Yeah, I think it's Top Gun. It some Air Force movie, the co-pilot's name is Goose, so they named the cat Goose for that.
Speaking of the cat, that kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, not really nowhere, because it's, like, peppered in the whole way, and it was like, oh, that's a funny little gag.
Yeah, I was say, full spoilers for Captain Marvel. If you don't want to hear about it, skip to probably 30 minutes in, I would guess.
Right. So. Sorry about that. Almost. Yep. Almost gave away the bank. Almost
yeah, gave away the surprise. I knew about it because I had seen pictures on, like, an article or something of a toy of the cat that has tentacles coming out of its mouth.
Mm.
So it's like I knew about it, so I was just waiting the entire movie. It's like, okay, so the cat is being adorable, and everybody, like, I could understand. Yeah, this cat is definitely an alien, and that's why the Skrulls are afraid of it. And then the tentacle thing happened.
And then, yeah, oh.
Although, people had guessed that the cat was the one who scratched out Nick Fury's eye, and I was surprised that actually was the case.
Yeah, like, oh, fuck, the whole way. Like, I was thinking the cat was, like, a super undercover Skrull. Like, the cat was a Skrull, and, like, that's what I was thinking it was, and then when Talos freaks out, I'm like, okay, he's doubling down on the cover. That's what's going on. And there's going to be something else crazy that happens. And then the crazy thing was, it was not a Skrull. So.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I love that part where they're, like, talking to Talos about shapeshifting, and they're like, oh, can you turn into a cat? What's a cat? How about you turn into a filing cabinet? Why would I want to turn into a filing cabinet?
You turn into a Venus flytrap. I'll give you $50 right now. You turn into one of those.
I love how deadpan he is about, like, all the stupid things they're telling him to do.
It's pretty fucking good. Like, I was watching it with my wife, and, like, as the door of the spaceship as they're leaving is closing. It's like closing just too slowly, and she's like, "Don't do it! Don't do it, movie!" And then he gets shot, and then. Like, in the shoulder, and he's fine, he lives or whatever, yeah. But she's like, god damn it, I knew it, I hate this.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was the only part where I actually worried about someone dying. Like, Captain Marvel, she kind of has a little bit of Superman syndrome, where she is so powerful that she's never really going to be in danger. But right. It's like Talos, I'm worried about him getting killed, because
exactly, so, like, I was actually pretty fucking stoked on the whole, like, turn of it, as it were, like, oh, this... Because the only Skrulls I actually know about is from having watched being played UMVC3, where there's just Super Skrull, who's just got, like, all the powers of the Fantastic Four, and he seems, he's drawn like a bad guy, so, you know, I just assume...
The Skrulls in the comics are pretty much always bad guys. I expect the twist in this movie is probably going to upset some comic book nerds. I liked it. I mean,
I like it because I like unconventional sorts of things like that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, like, I liked it for that. I liked it because, like, at the start of the movie, you know, like, personally, I was kind of bored until things got to Earth. Because, like, at the start of the movie, you got the Kree fighting Skrulls, and I was watching it, and it's like, this just looks like a bunch of, like, Warcraft orcs fighting a bunch of paladins.
Right?
But, yeah, I mean, it was nice that they had the twist. Like, the Skrulls are actually just... they refuse to join the Kree Empire, and they're being hunted down, and they don't want to die. And also, making sympathetic Skrulls, I like that because that means they're probably not going to do Secret Invasion, which I'm glad about. Because, I mean, like, that's one of the storylines people have speculated would be happening after Infinity War.
Right.
But, I mean, that just sounds like it would lead to disappointment when they try to, like, make a twist, like, oh, and it turns out Hawkeye was actually a Skrull all this time. All that time that you thought he was caring about his family, really, he was a Skrull pretending to care about his family. It's like the whole someone is secretly a Skrull twist, it's not, I don't know. I don't think it would work. But yeah, but no, we've got sympathetic Skrulls, so we're probably not going to have that, at least for a while.
Right. I don't know if I just have been quoted wrong, but after the Dark Phoenix movie, don't the rights to, like, X-Men go back? Isn't that going back to Disney? Because that's the last movie Fox was making before that branch of it got, like, absorbed by Disney.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix, I think, is complete, so it's definitely coming out in theaters. New Mutants, I don't know how complete it is. It sounds like it might get released on a streaming service or something. That does remind me...
Wasn't New Mutants the one that was... it had a trailer that made it look like it was a horror movie or something?
It's supposed to be. It's a horror movie, but they were aiming for a PG-13, and then they realized that wasn't going to work, so they were remaking it for an R, I think, but it's gotten delayed, like, more than a year now.
Yeah, I remember seeing, like...
It was supposed to come out March last year.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing, like, a trailer for it, I think, way back in... I guess it would have been 2017 then.
Yep.
So,
yeah, Dark Phoenix has been the same. It was supposed to come out, like, November of last year, and then it got pushed off to last February, I think, and now it's June. And even then, like, it just got a trailer, and it doesn't look good. It looks like a remake of Last Stand. Like, and it looks like they just haven't learned why people didn't like Last Stand. So,
why would they want to make that movie all over again?
But, I mean, as far as that goes, like, the head, Kevin Feige, the one in charge of Marvel Studios, has said they've already planned so many movies that if they're going to reincorporate X-Men and Fantastic Four, it won't be until at least Phase 5, and we're at the end of Phase 3 now with Avengers.
Right.
That reminds me of something I saw... article, I mean, talking, like, the head of Disney, they've done, like, some corporate meeting recently, and one of the things he said was that even though they're acquiring Fox, they are still going to have things released under the Fox name and banner, and, like, they're seeing it as an opportunity to release things that they couldn't under the Disney banner. So it sounds like Fox will still get to keep making the type of things they won't have X-Men anymore. That'll be transferring over. Deadpool might stay released as a Fox product under Disney.
Right.
I'm guessing, like, the Avatar movies will still be released as Fox under Disney. Stuff like the Alien and Predator series can be released under Fox.
Right, because they don't want to smear their own brand if they...
Yeah, it's like if they want to be able to get the money for making these cool R-rated movies, but they don't want parents going in thinking it's a Disney movie.
Right. But at any rate, I mean, I guess it's okay that they're leaving it to, like, Phase 5 sort of layer, because that'll at least give... Assumedly each phase is, like, what, been, like, 5 or 4 years or so or something?
Yeah,
movies,
yeah,
maybe?
3 or 4 years, 3 to 4, although they keep adding more movies per year.
Right, so, I mean, that'll at least give it some time to, like...
Yeah.
I won't say, like, just die in the public consciousness, but die in the public consciousness.
And by then...
Like, oh, yeah, these are literally the old ones.
No, yeah, no, and, like, all the core Avengers are, it sounds like, wrapping up their stories in Endgame. You know, like, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, they've all... had their runs, and it seems like they're going to wrap up and pass the torch on to Spider-Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, and then that'll leave room to add some more new people like X-Men or Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm. Like when Coulson brings him the glass eyes, I'm like, hang on a second, I thought he actually still had an eye from...
Cause yeah, he's got like a white cornea. Like,
yeah, like he's blind in that eye or whatever, but I'd almost entirely forgotten that fact. I'm like, oh man, is he gonna like get his whole eye like ripped out or something? I'm like, wait, no, that's not the case. That can't be the case.
Yeah, no, I can't remember which movie it was, but there was a time he took off the eye patch and you see the eye is still there, but it's like all white. Like, the color drained somehow.
I want to say it's Winter Soldier. That's yeah, what I want to say, because yeah. Like, he has to pull like some kind of double bluff when he gets captured in order to reactivate something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but okay, so Captain Marvel, I like, especially after they got to Earth, like, you get all the 90s yeah. stuff, and then, like, all the fun character interactions and visual gags, and like, I knew they were using de-aging tech on Samuel L. Jackson and Coulson. But, mm-hmm. like, it wasn't that apparent. Like, Coulson, occasionally, I could kind of tell. I think Jackson, they probably had more, you know, footage of him from
right.
the
so
90s.
They had more to work with.
Yeah. Like, Coulson, they would just have to draw from the older stuff. But Coulson didn't really do that much in the movie anyway. He was just, like,
yeah,
a cameo.
Yeah, he was just kind of cameoing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of had a good giggle at the whole, am I the only one confused by this? When they're like trying to thumb through her memories and I'm like, well, I guess I don't have to say it out loud right now because
yeah,
but then again, I guess I
knew they were
picked
confusing.
Up on it quicker than, mm. yeah. So, I mean, I guess if you hang a lampshade on your problem, it's not as big of a problem, but.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, like the flashbacks, they work, you know, they work better than I thought they would. I still think, like, I guess it was probably for the best that they, I don't know, like, they had the flashbacks all through the trailers, and I, you know, watching the trailers, I'm like, this looks fine, I guess, but the flashbacks, like, weren't the interesting part of the movie, like, they kept all the interesting right. parts out of the trailer, which is good for surprise, but bad for getting me interested, except, I guess, I went and saw it anyway, so, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the same problem I kind of had with, I'm pretty certain I haven't spoken to you since I saw Alita. Well, Alita came out like maybe a month ago. Of course I haven't.
Yeah, and we got like, a question from Revan on Alita, which I was going to need, like, Brent, I guess, saw it too. I haven't. I've only seen the trailers, and the thing with the eyes keeps putting me off from, like, I guess I could rent it, but.
I mean, the first few trailers from it was like, I have no interest in ever seeing this movie. But then, like, the later trailers, when she's doing, like, the death roller derby BS, I'm like, man, I think I want this now, because it just looks like, that's some place where the effects actually have to show itself off relatively well, like, because it's Robert Rodriguez doing it, so with an actual budget, he's got, you know... It's just good. It's just, it looks good.
Okay,
it looked better there than it did in other places, and that was what made me want to do it. So, made me want to go see the movie.
Alita, then.
It was... Okay, I got what I came for. So, like, I came in wanting to see just kind of like a more visual spectacle, but I guess its main problem is that it has like this... It doesn't give itself a moment to breathe. Like, it's got this real start-stop sort of thing going on. Like, the story beat will come up, and then it'll resolve, and then bam, it's right into the next one. And then, okay, the love interest guy, he's not the most amazing actor, but then again, he's stacking up against, like, Mahershala Ali and Christoph Waltz and everybody else in the movie and Jennifer Connelly and all of them. So, he doesn't come off as, like, in-depth at all, and then, I mean, you're gonna rent the movie, so I shouldn't give you any spoilers.
I had never heard of Alita before I saw the trailer, And from what I've seen of it, I mean, my enjoyment factor would be silly robot fight, or like silly cyborg fights, mm-hmm. more than plot, so you can spoil the plot.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and by the way, the big bad dude who keeps on showing up as the big problem that Alita's fighting is, what's his name? He's the guy, I think he's the guy who plays Rorschach in the Watchmen movie, hang on.
Okay.
Haley Joel Osment, is that correct, or is that... No, Haley Joel Osment. God, Christ.
No, I think it is. It's a three-part name, though.
Yeah, he has, like, three names. Hang on, this is the best part where I Google things. Rorschach.
Yeah, I'm spacing out there we his go. Name.
Jackie Earle Haley, that's okay. Who that is. Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah.
I think... Am I wrong?
No, I think that sounds correct, and it does have a Haley in it, so I guess that's where you got Joel Osment.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, so like I said, the love interest guy, he's like, not the best, but like, at a certain point, he's, they're building up like, oh man, this bounty hunter is gonna come and is gonna kill him, because the bounty hunter wants revenge on Alita, and he's gonna die, and then like... He's like getting away from the bounty hunter guy, but then like the bounty hunter guy catches up to him and he's like, oh no, he's gonna die. And then Alita shows up and then he doesn't die, but then he's like stabbed by the bounty hunter guy, and the bounty hunter guy's like, I'll let you take care of the rest of this, because she also enlisted as a bounty hunter essentially. And so he's dying inside this church, and she's like, does the whole, I'll love you forever, whatever the fuck. But then the villainess, she comes along and she does this surgery on him and cuts off his head and like attaches it to some machinery in Alita. And so he doesn't die. And so then they put him on like a robot body, and they're like, oh man, he's gonna live. But then he tries to like escape because shit's going back down at the surgery place, and he's going up this like dangerous path, and you're like, oh no, he's gonna die. And then Alita saves him, and you're like, okay, he's not gonna die. And then his arm starts to break as like his robot arm is breaking, and she's trying to hold him up, and then he falls and dies. And it was just a back and forth of, oh no, he's gonna die, oh he doesn't die, oh no, he's gonna die, oh he's not dead, he's all good. But, like, that they spent this much effort on this guy who...
And then they just really kill him.
Show up, and he's just dead.
They couldn't make up their minds if they wanted him dead or not, so they had to wait until the end.
Pretty well much. And that gave me a good fucking kick at the end of the movie. But the movie itself is good. I enjoyed it. It was fun. The effects look great. If you can handle, like, a... continual things are happening, stuff is going, and then the next thing happens and stuff is going, and then Alita's fighting these people, and then that fight ends really quickly, but then she's fighting someone else, and then if you can just stay in the flow, you'll be fine. But it also doesn't have a like real ending. It's kind of like a sequel bait sort of end, so that's that's a little hit or miss, I guess. They never miss.
Yeah, because the question we got relating to that one, saw my connection drop. Yeah, the question we got relating to that one, if you would have to make a scale of live-action movie remakes, which is the worst and which is the best?
I heard if you would have.
Okay. If you would have to make a scale of live-action movie remakes, which is the worst, which is the best, and where would Alita end up? So, I guess worst would probably be, like, the last Airbender movie.
Right.
I don't know what would be the best, like, live-action anime or cartoon remake.
Live-action anime cartoon remake, that's the best of its kind.
Like, would that be a leader? Or...
I wouldn't... Here's the thing, I have not read the original manga or watched the original OVA for Alita, so I couldn't tell you, like, how much they might have either been missing or leaving out.
Yeah, and like I enjoyed the Ghost in the Shell live-action one from a year or two ago, though the entire internet says I'm wrong on that, so it can't be the best.
I mean, it was fun to look at, and
yeah, I mean,
I guess mostly harmless, but I don't. It didn't really seem to innovate enough for me on my
own. Yeah, I mean, it's just like a. Either. It's a fine action movie, but it's nothing more than that.
Yeah, it's totally just popcorn filler sort of thing. Like, Johnny would pin me to the sky if I said anything, like, nice about Watchmen, but then again, I don't think Johnny knows where I live. But, I mean, having read the comic and watched the movie pretty much side by side during a certain class I took a couple of years ago, I could tell you that it's not the best remake of the story, but it's good for that, but it's not like the best one that exists out there.
Yeah, it is that it's got the mostly same, it's got a good faithful, but lose it. It doesn't quite capture the tone in a couple spots, and it botches the ending. But
I want to put Scott Pilgrim on here somewhere because that's a comic turned into a live action movie, but there's a whole mess of technicalities on that, too. God, hang on. Let me look at a list, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, there's a lot of superhero movies, but I don't know that they would really be considered live-action remakes, even if they're adapting plots from the comics, because they're not adapting them that closely.
I just typed in live-action remakes, and I remembered, oh, right, there's all the Disney ones.
Oh, yeah. I might have rented Jungle Book once and forgotten all of it.
I forgot that they made a Jungle Book. Oh, no, wait, that's right. Scarlett Johansson is...
Yeah.
Ah, isn't she?
I think. I mean, Jon Favreau directed it. The Iron Man guy. And there's everybody's favorite genie coming out in a couple months.
Everybody's favorite genie. Oh, boy.
Yep.
I never saw the remake of Peach Dragon, nor had I ever seen Peach Dragon to start with, the animated one, so I don't have any real good.
Yeah, I mean, the original was live action and animation combined, so.
Wait, are they putting out 4 this year?
That sounds right.
Got Aladdin, Lion King,
Dumbo
and
Lady and the Tramp.
The Maleficent sequel.
Okay, Maleficent and Lady and the Tramp, I think, is coming to Disney Plus.
Okay.
So that'd be 5.
Okay.
Though I don't know if Maleficent 2 is it this year? Like, they just revealed that, I thought.
Well, Google tells me Maleficent, Mistress of E. I'm guessing that's Mistress of Evil, but that could be, you know, Mistress of Eggs.
Mistress of Evil, we'll see if she's actually evil this time or if she's just misunderstood again.
Exactly. It says 2019 on Google. But, okay. I mean, Google can be wrong, so. I think I should just pick one and just go with it, so. Sure. Alita's the best. I'm just gonna pick it there.
Okay.
Said it. Said words. I put them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not great, but this can never be great.
Yeah, there isn't a high bar on live action remakes, so it crossed that bar, I guess.
Yup. I'm not too happy about the fact that Disney is like, oh yeah, we're just gonna have our own streaming service now, because I'm pretty sure the majority of the predictions about people saying, yeah, they're probably gonna hit a streaming bubble pop sometime soon, because, you know, there's so many separate different services, each of them with their own exclusive sort of things, and, you know, torrents still work, so I think, like, back in the day, when I was, like, on the fence about whether or not to get Netflix, I'm like, if Netflix was more comprehensive, I would totally get Netflix and not really need to pirate anything. And Netflix got more stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give Netflix a try out. And just even it, like, I think it was around about when they started to make their own content that I was like, okay, I'm willing to put forth my own foot on this and try and get on it. And I just borrow my wife's dad's Hulu and have a friend. He has HBO Go. And I don't know anybody who really... keeps all those up and actually utilizes them to the extent that they're worth it.
Yeah, Netflix is the only one that I know people use regularly. I use Amazon Prime, but only because I already have Amazon Prime, and I have an Xbox One here. That I have the app on, so I can stream it onto my TV. So I use it occasionally, but mostly just for like cheesy Roger Corman movies, because they don't have a great catalog on Amazon of free stuff.
I think the only thing I've watched on Amazon Prime is Made in Abyss.
Mm.
And I think that just came to like High Dive on Verve. I have Verve, because I was like, oh, I like Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon Prime does have... They're making a Middle Earth series, and they just revealed it's set in the Second Age. So it's leading up to that big battle at the start of Fellowship of the Ring. The one with the elves fighting Sauron's minions and Sauron.
I know next to nothing about the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I mean, I've read the Silmarillion, and even then that didn't really touch on the Second Age. I don't know where any Second Age information is, aside from there is an island, it's called Numenor, that's where men come from. The elves live on the main continent. Sauron is there, his evil master, who was the Dark Lord of the First Age, is gone now. Like, all the gods also left, because they all were part of the war against Sauron's boss, Morgoth. So, it's just elves, and men, and Sauron. And that's all I know about Second Age.
His name is Morgoth. He's Morgoth than you!
Yeah, no, he was Morgoth than Sauron. He was the big, big bad.
Okay. Wow, okay. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one who created, like, spider people like Shelob, and Shelob's mom, and, yeah.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so they're making a show, and I might watch it, maybe, I don't know. I mean, the problem, like, TV shows, it's just, especially, like, the ones that are designed to be, like, you have to watch every episode seasons, yeah. It just takes so much time to watch them all. That I just
so much of a time sink.
Yeah, like you either go all in or you don't, and I haven't, so I'm just not on I'm not on Netflix. I'm not on any streaming except for Amazon because I just happen to have it.
Right. Like, I mean, I guess Amazon's got the right idea in that, you know, other people already want your one service and might as well tack on something else. It's not like amazing, but
yeah. Yeah, but Disney Plus, I will probably get at least temporarily, unless, like, I'll get it at first, and if I lose interest, then I'll drop it, but there's enough Star Wars and Marvel stuff coming to it that I'll want it at least for a while.
Right. But, like, I'm not gonna be, like, I watched, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage Season 1 on Netflix, but I'm not gonna be, like, diving back over to stay on, like, Disney's streaming service if they make more new things for them, because...
Yeah.
Sure, they were cool, but, like, it wasn't...
Yeah, I dropped off after Daredevil Season 2, so I didn't even see Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, like, if they make more Defenders shows, I probably won't watch those. The shows that they're making, this is supposed to be, like, a Loki TV show that's, like... Loki in different Forrest periods Gump. Of history, yeah. Forrest Gumping through history.
Forrest Gump, Loki.
Yeah, and then there's like a Scarlet Witch and Vision show, maybe?
But the question is, are they going to have their whole back catalog of films on there, or are they only going to have out certain ones during certain times of the year so they can exploit the whole Disney Vault gimmick thing again?
Supposedly some of the classic movies are coming back. I didn't click that article. I just saw a headline, something about, like, movies from the Vault are going to be released onto the service, but I don't know if they're going to cycle them or not. I could see them doing that if they wanted to still, you know, get people, like, you can watch it and then you have to go buy it because it's gone. Which definitely, I mean, even having them on streaming seems like a good idea because, like, the current generation of kids, I don't know how much exposure they get to the classic Disney movies anymore when other shows are just there and available all the time. Right. It's like, unless your parents are making a special effort to get you these classic movies, you're not going to see them, and they're not going to be classics to you because you haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So at least they're making them a little more available now.
You know what I was super pissed about?
Mm.
I found out that they made another season of Young Justice. They're making a third one, and it's only on DC's fucking streaming service. And I'm like, I'm not getting your whole streaming service for one show. Even if I love it, even if I love the initial part, even if season two was a little on the down edge on the whole having to repeat everything all the fucking time, even if I love the previous part, I'm not getting a whole streaming service just to not sit down.
That's when you wait for the DVD to come out in like a year or two. Because even Netflix stuff eventually comes to DVD. I'm waiting for Daredevil season 3 to hit DVD so I can watch it.
But Jade, you don't understand. I want to see it now.
I mean, if it helps, there were people on, I think, the media spoilers box on the Discord talking about Young Justice season 3, and I guess it gets really grimdark. Just brutal violence. I mean, just cartoon violence.
Edge but technology?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, people are getting, murdered just for shock value, I guess. I don't know.
Hang on a sec. Let me see if I can find this meme.
Sounds like it's getting edgy.
No, hang on. I've got the perfect meme for Bleeding Edge Tech. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm just looking at... Bam! I've got other topics and I've got questions.
Okay, there it is.
Okay, it's a robot. It's like... I don't recognize this robot. It looks like something out of Mega Man, maybe?
So, I think the gag that it's supposed to be is that it's some kind of... this is probably some kind of Sonic comic.
Okay.
This is, it looks almost like a metal version of Shadow, given, it's got the chest hair on the front.
Mm.
So, I was...
Yeah, I think there was a Sonic Mega Man crossover, so it would probably be from that.
Yeah. The ears look like it, so.
Mm.
Probably. But yes, that's my bleeding edge tech joke.
Okay.
It's this meme.
Mm.
I remember laughing at it really hard, and now I feel dumb for bringing it up. I was looking for it forever.
Mm. Okay. But yeah, so we got questions and other assorted topics.
What other topics do you have?
I
feel like I didn't bring it up to the table.
Okay, let's see. I already covered the Disney Fox thing. A couple weeks ago, and it would have been more fresh in my brain if I talked about it when I actually played it, Lego Movie 2 had a video game.
So I got the... I remember you talking to Brent about it.
Yeah.
Well, the movie.
Yeah, the movie came out, and then the video game came out at the end of February. It was good, although, it was interesting, because, I got it the day it came out, and as I was progressing through the story, on Xbox, the achievements, if you get an achievement that, less than 5% of players of that game have gotten, it shows up as a rare one. So I was getting those just for beating levels. You beat level 3. Rare achievement unlocked. It's nobody... So a bunch of people have bought this and maybe played the first level and then stopped.
Huh.
And so...
Is it a bad game?
Do
you find it to be bad?
I mean, it starts off... They introduce you to, all the mechanics at the start. So it gets a little heavy at the start. But after that, it opens up, it's got, the main locations of the movie, but they make them into, open worlds, and you can run around and do, side tasks and collect stuff, and then once you've completed enough side tasks or completed main missions, you have to get enough bricks to open the next world. The main thing I want to say about I tweeted when I reached the end, because the end, it's just, so it's progressing through the story of the movie by going through the locations of the movie. You're in Apocalypseburg, and then you get on your spaceship, although Wildstyle doesn't get captured in this, because you need to have two players. So you got Emmett and Wildstyle, and you get in your spaceship, and you go to the asteroid field, and you find Rex, and then you go to the town where the Justice League and all the other, characters are brainwashed, and then you And as you go to each area, you're finding more of your friends. Like, they weren't all brought to the Queen's palace like they were in the movie. They're, like, scattered across all these planets. So you get, like, one friend with a new ability each place you go. And then, yeah, eventually you get to the last place, and everybody is on your side about needing to destroy, like, stop the wedding and destroy the palace, because you think the Queen is up to some evil plan that... I mean, in the movie, yeah, it's like the Emmett was the one who believed that because Rex was the one who was telling him that. Everybody else figured
out Rex is him from the future.
Yeah, Rex is like an evil, okay, cynical version of him from the future, who wants him to wreck the wedding, and the wedding is just like the sister's way of trying to get, you know, her and her brother, like, get all their toys playing together so they can be playing together, and the brother is like an angsty teen and he just wants to be left alone.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's like you have the final battle against General Mayhem, and then you go to break the cake and stop the wedding, and that is the end of the gameplay part of the game. But also, like, all through the game, Wildstyle has been narrating the plot to you. So, like, after you break the world, then she narrates all the twists from the end of the movie. In, like, the final cutscene, she, like, explains, okay, so what we thought was the villain, who you just went off and fought, actually wasn't the villain. She was really good all along, and just bad at communicating that, and the real villain was Rex, and then we all got thrown into these storage bins, and we thought we were doomed, but then the power of friendship brought us all together, and we saved the day, and Rex faded away, and... It's just a really clunky way of ending the story. Like, I don't know. I was surprised that they would end it that clunkily.
I mean, they knew it would make money, possibly? I mean, people didn't seem to play it that fucking much.
Yeah, and I guess that's like the movie didn't get watched that much either. Even though it was a good movie. And like, the game is good. I think it was better than... the game for the first movie, because the game for the first movie definitely felt like it was rushed to get out in time for the movie. And this one, they gave it an extra month after the movie came out, before the game came out, so it had a little more time to get polished, plus they did a little more with it. They actually got, like, some of the soundtrack songs in there this time. Like, I don't think the first game had Everything Is Awesome in it, which, I mean... big.
I mean, how do you have a Lego movie thing and then you don't have that? That's like,
yeah, I mean, and they had like some actual like video clips from the movie in that first game, but they didn't have the soundtrack completed yet, I guess. So they didn't have
next. You're gonna tell me the logos. Next, you're gonna tell me the logos in the first game were actually Megablox logos.
Ooh.
Be like, oh no, Everything Is Awesome. You're actually playing a Megablox game.
I mean, I guess if you can't zoom in and see the word Lego written on top of each stud, then it might as well be Megablox.
Might as well. Oh, speaking of future edgy versions of people, have you ever watched Megas XLR?
Yep. Yeah,
that reminds me of how that series ends. Like the last seat, the last episode.
The pair, evil Coop from the future.
Like, evil future Coop, and like, Coop is like, you did all this stuff, you did this, you did that, and worst of all, you made me skinny! It was just fucking great. Like, his priorities are always the fucking best. Like, I watched, I think it's like the third or so episode with my wife randomly, because we had been watching a different show. Oddly enough, both of which had giant robots, and it was the Regis Mark 12 episode, the one where there's just the robot,
the one with the DMV
coming back and getting better.
Or did that one have the DMV?
It's not the DMV That had the Mega Slush. It keeps on Coop Treat trying to get a Mega Slush of like some kind of slurpy sort of icy sort of thing, and every place that he goes, he's getting destroyed by the Regis. And he just keeps on trying to fight it and crush it, but it just keeps on rebuilding and coming back.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny. Like, I was just like, just toss it into the sun! Just get this over with! Come on! And then at the end, they're like, oh, the fog, the smog that's coming out of Megas is blocking out the sun and taking away its power! And so she's like, my plan would not have worked at all. I'm like, No, really wouldn't have. The other thing we had been watching, though, with giant robots was Big O, and she got a massive kick out of the fucking... as did I, as always, is the tomato meme, because she's never seen Big O and, like, didn't know anything that was coming around. Like, have you watched
Big O at all or no? Nope, I haven't seen it either.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hang on. So, this is a picture that she was like, I have to have a picture of this with the title on it, because it makes no sense in context. It makes no sense out of context. It barely makes sense in context.
Okay, so at least it won't make sense anyway.
And the main character is just, like, staring at this knife, and it's like, even if I was one of those tomatoes. Okay. Because, and then later in the episode, he's going on about how he actually is one in his giant robot, and he has, like, a fugue in the middle of a fight, and just stops. Just stops fighting for a minute. Because this tomato, like, okay, how to explain the tomato joke?
Is it a metaphor?
It is. It's like a metaphor, but like,
he's going to get kind of badly like done? A tomato inside of a giant mech?
No, like,
he's vulnerable in Big O, like a tomato.
In Big O, everyone's lost all their memories, and like, there's this later plot thread that's like everybody's like fake people with implanted memories and we're like grown like tomatoes. Okay. And then they just keep on using tomatoes, even though it's kind of like inherently funny when they say it. Like, I can only imagine like if they're actually saying, like, I don't even know what tomato is in Japanese, so I don't know if they were just saying tomato in the middle of their sentence in Japanese too, but hang on. I guess I can find out. The whole internet exists. Tomato, Japanese.
Yeah.
No, not a grocery store.
Because looking at the topics, the other thing, last week's big news event, the Pokemon starters came out, and everyone's divided up into camps.
Everyone's on. I see a lot of hate directed towards Scorbunny.
Oh, I mean, I've mostly seen a strong division over Grookey, like either love him or hate him.
Yeah, like, I see, like, love-hate on Grookey. I only see people who are like, I just want to give Sobble a hug sort of people, because they're like...
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm Pokemon. Team Get Wet for Sobble, but... Yeah, I mean, like Scorbunny seems just kind of inoffensive and, like, normal. And, like, Grookey, you know, he's either, really cute or hideous, depending on your taste in monkeys, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And tomato is just tomato in Japanese.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I had to know.
Yeah, if it was a word that they also had in Japanese, if it was an imported word.
But didn't they recently, well, speaking also of Pokemon, didn't they also announce recently that they're going to implement something for Pokemon Go that lets you change your team?
Yeah, I saw something. Like, I don't have Pokemon Go, so I haven't followed it, but
there was me either.
Something like, about that.
Like, I had it back when it was, like, really big, but everyone was like, oh, I'm this team. Oh, I'm that team. I'm like, I never have to actually pick, so I won't. Mm. And then I realized later, oh, I can't get levels really well without, like, going to gyms. And to go to a gym, I have to be some... Body once told me. I have to be some team in order to...
You have to pick which legendary bird you want to be a team on, because I guess they're all based on the original bird trio.
So, yeah, I had it for a while, and then I never picked a team intentfully, and then realized I can't progress now. I can't go further without conforming to society's rules. Oh, no.
And that's when the game stopped being fun.
I mean, I'll admit I wasn't having a whole lot of fun walking around random places trying to, like, throw fake balls at Pokemon. It was just kind of like... Oh, yeah, there's a Pokemon there. I'm like, yeah, neat. I guess Pokemon's never really been my steez. Like, I tried to play it once when somebody got me, I think it was Soul Silver, and it was fine, but, like, I knew people, most of the people who I would have been playing with were, like, hardcore EV, IV training people using Smogon and all those sort of resources, and I'm like, I don't have the mental, like, I don't have the spoons to put into this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't find it fun at that level.
Yeah, like, I had a little bit of fun doing some stuff, and I found out later, oh, yeah, contests are totally hated by people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember playing, I think it was either Ruby or Emerald or whatever.
Yeah, it was a Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald is when they added the contests.
Mm-hmm. I remember those, and I was like, I could never make head or tails of what they were, really. Like, you do a thing, and it has an attribute, and the judges might like that attribute.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I played it enough to... Because you can get, like, a decoration for your base if you can, like, reach, like, the top tier and have, yeah, like, your Pokemon has, like... You feed it the berry things to make its stats go up in those different, like, five attribute categories. And if you, like, max it out in one of them and then win the contest and get the artist, like, at the master ranks, there's, like, an artist in the audience, and if the artist likes your Pokemon, then they'll paint it and put it in the museum. So I had to get good at it so I could get paintings of my Pokemon in the museum and get the Crystal Pidgeot that you can set up in your base, but, yeah, no, contests are bullshit.
It feels like they tried to do the whole, oh, it's like a dog show, but... Yeah. I barely know how a dog show works. Like, I think I watched one dog show randomly recently.
Yeah, it's like a dog show, but you've got your Pokemon and three other Pokemon, and you're all, like, in an order, 1 to 4, and you can change the order depending, you know, if you use, like, an ability, they'll let you, like, speed up or slow down. And then all of your attacks also have contest points, which will either increase hearts for you, decrease hearts for, like, the person in front of you if you spook them. It's like, if you have, like, a biting attack, then you can... It's like, you got 2 hearts, and the person in front of you got scared, and they lost 2 hearts. And if they had done, a super special move, maybe they'll lose more hearts because they made themselves more vulnerable. Otherwise, like, they could do a move that, like, it gets them 2 hearts, and it makes them, like, locked down so they can't get spooked. So it's like, you're trying to increase your points... And also take advantage of bonuses, because if you're in the beauty contest and you use a move that is like a beauty quality to it, then you get like 1 bonus point, and that also increases there's like an audience and they have a meter, and if you manage to make the audience meter peak, then they all cheer and you get a ton of extra hearts. So you have to try to, like, time it in a way so that you can take advantage of that meter and somebody else doesn't get it. So you're trying to lower their hearts and increase your hearts, and it's all complicated and somewhat random. Like, you don't know what the other three are gonna pick. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
Like, you can't even possibly know what they're gonna. What moves they'll have that they might exploit against you or anything like that?
Yeah, so. Eventually you figure that out, because there's only so many opponents and they just keep recycling them.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Pokemon, how do we get from here?
You can't just brute force your way through it like you can with the battles.
Right. How do we get onto Pokemon? Oh, right.
Yeah, the starters came out. And Sobble is adorably sad.
Like a... Yeah. Isn't it supposed to be like they have some kind of... they have some kind of relation to sports each time? This time around?
Maybe? I mean, Scorbunny seems like a soccer player. Grookey has like a stick that he uses for music, so he's got kind of a music theme. And Sobble... Mm-hmm. As a depressed chameleon, I guess.
I don't know. I'm only referencing hearsay, I guess, now. Mm. So,
yeah, I mean, like, I guess, theoretically, sometimes there are, like, themes to the starters. I don't know how much stock I put in that. I find the... There's also a theory that all of the fire starters are part of the Chinese Zodiac, and they're still fitting that. I mean...
They're still trying to fill that out?
Yeah, like, if you consider...
Really?
Fennekin the fox to be a dog, and Cyndaquil I don't know what it says it is.
Isn't Cyndaquil like some kind of mole?
Yeah, Cyndaquil...
This whole time I thought that was
a mole. It's like a mole or a mouse, but if you consider that a rat, and if you consider Fennekin a dog, then, yeah, so far they all fit. some part of the Chinese zodiac, including the rabbit that is now on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's been a rabbit, a pig, a dragon lizard.
A dog.
Like, wait, Charmander is like a dragon. Cyndaquil is like a rat. Yep. Torchic is like the chicken.
Yeah.
And Rooster then, chicken, what was the fourth one? I think the fourth one was a monkey.
Fourth is Chimchar.
Yeah, yeah. Chimchar was a monkey. Fifth was monkey. The pig.
Embor. Yep.
Pig. Yeah, there's the pig. Yeah, sixth pig. One, there was XY. That was, don't remember. I know the seventh.
Is that Fennekin?
Yeah, that was Fennekin, which is dog. And then Litten, whose final evolution looks like a tiger. So there's the tiger, and now we have a rabbit. So I'm waiting for the fire snake now.
Mm-hmm.
And Fire Horse, how they're going to make that different from Ponyta.
Fire Bull, how are they doing that? Isn't there like a cow? Wait, did you already say that?
No, I said the horse. Like, we have Ponyta and Rapidash as fire horses. And we've had Tauros as a normal type bull, but we haven't had a fire bull.
Yeah, I guess. I was gonna say, like, how are you gonna fit that into a starter? Then I realized, oh wait, it's got minor unevolved forms. You can do whatever then.
Yeah, like maybe they'll do like a Minotaur or something, and it'll just be considered a ball because it's close enough.
Close enough. I mean, I am enjoying a lot of the. I guess it's the Scottish rival girl memes where she's, you know, talking in the, where they have text written out for. Like, talking in that type of patter.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Have you seen any of those?
No.
Well, I've been stuffing things in the chat anyway. You want me to go ahead and try and find one real quick?
Yeah.
That's fine, if no.
Link them all later so people know what they're about, I guess. The other topic thing that I saw on there, did you see Aquaman?
I didn't hear that part. Go ahead and say it
again. Did you see Aquaman?
No. But I don't mind spoilers, because, I mean...
Okay.
It's...
Well, it's about Aquaman 2, is...
Okay. What's about Aquaman 2?
So they said... okay, so Aquaman has made a shitload of money. It's made, like, over $1 billion now. And so, of course, they're making an Aquaman 2, but it's not going to be out until, like, 2022. But even though I was kind of lukewarm on the first Aquaman, I'm kind of excited for the second one now, because I've read some of the comics since the last one came out, and there was this story arc with this, like, other team that Aquaman was part of that's called The Others. Which is, like, a team name that is cool if you say it right and dumb if you don't. It's either Aquaman and the Others, or Aquaman and the Others. But they're called the Others, and they're a pretty cool team. There's, like, a jungle girl, and there's this guy called the Prisoner of War, who, like, anytime a soldier dies around him, their ghost starts haunting him. So he's got, like, he can... ask them for advice. Like, he's got like a medic who he can talk to. He's like, I need medical knowledge, and now he's got medical knowledge. And then there's like a secret agent guy, and it's like a pretty cool team, and apparently they're gonna be in the sequel. So, like, after the first Aquaman, I'm like, yeah, this is fine, but now I'm kind of excited. But it's not gonna be till 2022. And in the interim, they are making a spin-off about the Trench Monsters, which are these, like, piranha people who don't talk. They're just piranha monsters. But I guess they're going to make, like, a horror movie about piranha monsters to fill the space between now and Aquaman 2. I don't know why.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, considering all of DC's other choices, that's... I guess. That's a choice.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Also, they just announced, so James Gunn is working on a new Suicide Squad movie that I guess is a sequel, but they're also going to be, like, having a mostly different team. Like, they're bringing back Harley Quinn, and they just announced Will Smith isn't available to play Deadshot, so Idris Elba is going to be Deadshot.
Yeah, I heard about that. So
that's pretty cool. But otherwise, the rest of the team is going to be, like, new characters, I guess. So, that'll probably be good. Yeah, let's see, what time are we? Okay, yeah, we're an hour in, so I should probably do questions. And I'll definitely have to share all these, Pokemon memes, to the...
I'd like to make that voice, but I don't want to make a fool of myself. Well, I mean, I like to make a fool of myself all the time, but I don't want to be...
I have a bad Scottish voice that I've done before, so maybe I... Okay, let's see if I can... This I might need a couple attempts, but I'm editing, so I can fix that if I need to. Okay. Sort off me fucking lane, for I'll dick your ass, you stupid posh cunt.
Try me, mate! I'll make sure you're part... Hang on. Fuck! Damn it! Try me, mate! I'll make sure your pocket's dry as your taint when I'm done, poor bastard!
Okay, and if you want that to make sense, go check out the forum, because it's a thing with the character models from Pokemon Sword and Shield. Okay, yeah, so questions. From Revan, for which of the rooms you live in, do slash would you spend the most money?
So, like, rooms you live in, like, in your house?
In your house, I guess. I mean, I live at home with my parents, and I basically live in my bedroom, and I've spent way too much money in here on nerd shit. So, yeah, this is definitely where I spend the most money.
I mean, I guess since I'm a homeowner now, technically I have a bedroom.
Is it the groceries? Is it the... The office?
No, I...
You buying big couches? Like,
I actually do have giant couches, like, two matching couches. Oh my god. Oh, wait, that's right, that's another thing. That's something I ran into at Goodwill. I'll tell you about that later, though. Okay. But, like, I just got some matching couches at, like, at an auction nearby, and, like, they were pretty much, they're, like, solid wood, for, like, the frame, and then they've got, like, you know, cushions, because, you know, it's not just a wood couch.
Yeah.
It's a wood couch and love seat combo, and I got them for, like, I think it was $20, like, and the effort to take them out of the house that they were being auctioned out of, obviously, along with, like, a matching side table, a long table, and, there's a fifth piece of it, and I can't think of it. No, there's not, there's only four, I'm dumb. Anyway, but... Yeah, just got some... I think the most money ends up getting spent on the kind of living quarters. Because, I mean, if you count all the food that cycles through there of like, oh, here's this food here, and this is a decoration for a while, because I'm not gonna toss the bag because I'm a lazy shit. So that's going to be there for a while. So those are expensive decorations. They come and go all the time. So I'd say the living room gets redecorated the most with, you know, Taco Bell bags and... Wendy's coupons just kind of laid out on the floor every once in a while, so I'd say I spend the most money on the living room decor.
Okay, so the second question, should there be pictures in books, which I'm assuming means not comic books but like novels, should they have like at the start of the chapter you got a picture,
like an illustration?
Which could be helpful if they, like, at least have, like, character portraits so that I can know what the characters look like.
Well, when you really think about it, what are words? Words are, like, little symbols of that convey a meaning. And innately, so can a letter convey a meaning the same way a picture can convey a meaning. If you have the letter just A, you have a few things conveyed to you, like the singular I don't fucking know the word. A singular thing. You have A conveyed you with that, or you have the start of something, or you have whatever, or say you have a picture of fish. You have a fish picture, and you are conveyed.
So you're saying we should write novels in hieroglyphics?
Yes. Hieroglyphic novels are the new hotness, along with foldable phones.
Emoji.
You heard about foldable phones?
Nope. No, I mean, when I heard phone, I thought you were going to go to, like, emoji writ, like, a novel written in emoji language.
You know, emojis deserved a better movie than they got, but yes, a novel written in emojis is the next new thing. It'll have so many interpretations. There'll be people who are just like, for the longest time, no, sideways smiling face didn't mean that. It meant that, but with a bent of suspicion. And so this means that character 2 was always going to betray the party. I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Third question, best Spider-Man parody. Which I'll have to try to remember to ask Brent next time he's on, see if he has any answers. I probably should have thought more about it in advance, because I know a lot of Spider-Man stuff, but parodies, aside from, like, Spider-Ham, who showed up in Spider-Verse, the only other parody I know of are, like, the porn parodies, which did have a good Mysterio costume in the Spider-Man porn parody. Spider-Man XXX2 has Mysterio.
So is it six X's?
It says XXX2. I'm looking at it right now, because I own it, because it has Mysterio.
Does that mean it's actually four X's because it's XX times two?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it means that the X-Men were supposed to feature, but they didn't.
You know, they just couldn't afford them, and they only had them in that one screenshot where they're closing the door on their room.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't get the crossover rights with Fox. You know, it's an officially licensed Sony product, so they could put all the Spider-Man stuff in, but they just couldn't get the Fox characters.
Couldn't get them in on it. I don't really know too many Spider-Man parodies, though.
Mm.
Like, the only one that's coming to mind, and it's dumb, I'm going to think of something different later. I'm thinking of, like, remember back when they had all those, like, parody movies where they really would just, like, toss in a bunch of random-ass like jokes?
Superhero movie,
I think it was maybe. Drake Bell or something. Yeah, epic movie, fucking disaster movie, date movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember that one the most because they remake the scene from Spider-Man 1 where Norman Osborn, Willem Dafoe, is talking to Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, except with Drake Bell and whoever the hell else was in that scene. And, like, they're going back and forth about, why is this suspicious thing on you? And they have this dumb explanation for it, and I think Drake Bell's is, like, he gets asked, why do you have that cut on your lip? And he's like, I cut it on my crack pipe, and then just looks around, and that's all that's coming to mind when I'm thinking of Spider-Man parody right now.
Let's see, his next question, best duel.
I'm not certain I know enough about duel fiction. I'm not certain I know enough about duels in fiction to be like, oh yes, this is the definitive one.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first thing coming to mind are, like, the fight scenes in Star Wars, and of those, I guess, I mean, it's basically, I don't know, people make fun of the prequels, because, like, even though they got all these flashy fights, they are basically dancing and not actually fighting, but, the Anakin Obi-Wan one I thought was pretty good.
It is pretty good. It's got the most meme quantity so far, I think, of any duel I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, and then there was that one in the Old Republic trailer, although I don't know that that's so much of a duel as two armies fighting each other. Because it seems like duel implies that it's one-on-one. Next question. Favorite lie?
I cut it on my crack pipe.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have an answer.
Going back to my
offhand.
Lie that you've been told? Lie that you have told other people? I don't... Well, I guess it can qualify for any. Revan's questions are often very open-ended.
Mm.
So,
well, then his next question: a coworker still brings Christmas chocolate to work. When should I stop eating them? And I would say
stops feeling good.
Yeah, when your teeth tell you not to, like my teeth tell me not to eat chocolate as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Like your teeth will just kind of spring out and be like, "Revan, what are you doing? There's clearly microscopic germs in this chocolate. We can feel them. We know you can't. We know you can't even hear us, Revan. Where are your teeth?
Yeah,
listen,
we're
Revan.
We're eroding and we're screaming." Like my teeth.
Oh.
Yeah. My dentist always yells at me about flossing, and I'm pretty sure I'm flossing, but it's just never good enough, and my teeth hurt now, so I'm trying, but...
Every time I go to my dentist, he's just like, oh yeah, you should try and, like, run your finger over your gums while you're not, like, doing something idle. I'm like, why? And I realize I have kind of swollen gums, even when I brush my teeth regularly, they're rather swollen, and he doesn't have a real solution for it, and I'm like, I'm not gonna sit around fingering my mouth while I have nothing better to do. That's just silly.
Yeah, like, I've had dentists tell me, you need to brush close to your gums, and it's like, okay, so I do that, and they tell me, like, no, you're not brushing hard enough, you need to brush harder, so I'm like, okay, I'm brushing really hard close to my gums, it's ripping my gums apart, and then I had a dentist tell me, oh no, you ripped your gums apart, you need to not brush that hard, and I'm like, that's the opposite of what the last one told me to do.
Yeah, I don't want to be like, I don't want to stereotype an entire profession of people, but I feel like I've never been on solid terms with dentists I've had, except for one time when, like, I have, okay, because of a bully in, like, I think when I was, like, in elementary school age, like, my front two teeth are chipped in such a fashion where, like, the front, there's, like, a frontal triangle that's, like, missing, so, like, half of them are missing, so it's bonding, and, like, I've had that for, like, ever, because those were my adult teeth that he broke, so, So, those have been there for a while. And one time, while I was eating, I think it was a Snickers or something, one of them broke unexpectedly. Like, it had been a long time since I'd had them replaced, so it's not like it was entirely crazy. Like, it had at least been a decade since I'd had them either repaired or fixed up. And I didn't have the best brushing habits at the time anyway, but... the only dentist I've had a good rapport with was a dental office I called literally the next day to be like, hey, I have a broken spot in my teeth and I need it fixed because, you know, I talk to people at my job and that's my front tooth. Like, I talk to the first people who come into a restaurant, so I'm not going to get looked too well upon if I've got a cracked front tooth. So then they're like, that next day, they're like, okay, yeah, sure. Tomorrow, come on in and we can get you fixed up. And they got me fixed up. And that was the only time I ever had a good experience with the dentist. And I never went back there because it was just out of my range of... out of my range of reasonable direction to go to a dentist. But my current dentist has an accent that reminds me of my mom, kind of. So he's got a real thick kind of country accent like that sort of thing. And... it's kind of hard to take him serious. So, and he's also, you know, an old guy, so he's always asking about this, that, and the other kind of thing while he's got his hands down my throat.
Okay, so then the next question, last accident you had or witnessed?
Like, witnessed happened in front of?
Yeah, I mean, he says, I fell down running to my train. Sorry, Revan, but...
oh, no, Revan.
Yeah, so I guess, like, tripping and falling counts as an accident. And
let's see.
Yeah, I feel like I had an answer for this like a week or two ago when I read it, but now I don't remember.
I mean,
I don't concentrate on accidents.
Right, you try and forget them as best you
can. Yeah, they're pushed somewhere in my subconscious, and they will come out when I'm feeling embarrassed about something else, so I can feel even more embarrassed. Because that's how brains work.
Today,
state-dependent memory.
Terrible luck of... Okay, so, you know, I'm at my desk job or whatever, I get up to go to the bathroom, I've got my headphones on, the cord connected to my phone, phone's in the pocket, and, you know, go to turn the knob of the door... And I, like, catch my headphones on the knob. Like, it's one of those, like, curved knobs sort of thing. Where it's not like a single, you know, ball you can just grab and turn. It's a, like, proper office handle or whatever. And it pulled out the headphone jack on my phone and on my headphones. Like, it comes in and out because they're also Bluetooth headphones. Mm. But, like, my phone just, like, tumbled all the way around the door as I'm... coming out, because it got pulled, and, like, tumbles into the trash can, and, like, the headphone cord is stuck on the other side of the door, while I'm just standing there looking dumb in front of the vending machine next to the trash can and the door, and I'm like, well, that'll learn you, phone. Don't say that about my mother again. So, you know, tried to walk it off of, pull my phone out of the trash, and then grab my headphone jack cord.
Mm.
That's the saddest thing that's happened to me lately. Well, not saddest, but accident. I haven't had, like, an accident proper in or seen one running around
in a while. Let's see. What movie can you summarize in one sentence but is still good? Which I would say is probably every movie can be summarized in one sentence. But, okay, so let's pick a movie. Okay, so Captain Marvel, let's summarize it in one sentence.
All right.
Girl recovers her memory and saves a bunch of aliens.
Please. I was going to say unexpected turns yield pleasing results. Oh. But that could be almost anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if we're going to summarize in one sentence, we're going to just cut to the,
cut to the quick.
Yeah. Just, like, the essential parts. Okay, so girl is brainwashed to think she is part of one group of aliens, and then finds out she isn't, and saves a different group of aliens from the first group.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess, covers most. I mean, it loses the whole cat and Nick Fury and stuff, but...
But that's what happens.
And, yeah. Okay, Revan's last question. What book or text should Johnny recite first if he does that in the future? Because that was an idea that he tossed out for, since Word Funk is over,
Yeah, I'm kind of doing what Leon has done with, David Lynch material, in that he didn't watch all of it at one time, so I've still got some Word Funks that I haven't listened to, because I got behind at a certain point, and then I found out, oh no, they're halting for now, indefinitely. Yeah. So, what's something Johnny should recite first?
Yeah.
Creepypasta.
Mm. Yeah, that could be fun.
I think Johnny could. Yeah. Johnny's got a good range for that, I think.
Yeah, and to do the, like, either creepypasta or just general fan fiction to just get that kind of faux drama to it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have a gravitas when you're reading silly internet stuff.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just silly internet stuff, and that's...
Yeah. That's no, just... yeah, I mean, it's like, it's already... It's not professional writing, so when you make it sound even more professional, that makes it funnier. Okay, and then from Eugene, there's one question prompting me about another topic that I've held off until now, and then he's got a bunch of riddles. So, okay, so the topic, Spider-Man Hunted arc. Okay, so the Spider-Man comic that I've been following has just entered its new arc, which is called Hunted. It's focusing on Kraven the Hunter, and it is somewhat insane on how it's set up. So Kraven the Hunter, and I've got the comic here just to remind me in case. So Kraven the Hunter died back during the Kraven's Last Hunt story. He was brought back from the from death by his sister, who uses black magic, and
his daughter?
Or maybe it was his daughter, I don't know.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I'm checking. Let's see. His wife and children brought him back with dark magic. He took them all to the Savage Land, and they don't really say... apparently, he had them all hunt each other to the death or something, and only his daughter Anna survived, but I guess she wasn't a good enough successor or something, so he went and harassed this guy named the High Evolutionary until the guy agreed to make 87 clones of Kraven, specifically 87, who he raised as sons and then sent them all out into the world on various hunts, only to have only one of them return because that one decided to hunt down all of his brothers, and he dumps all of their skulls on Kraven's floor, and Kraven's like, oh, you're my true son. You killed all the others. He does look like he's going to be sad about it, but then he's actually overjoyed.
How long does it take to raise 87 sons?
I mean, they were... they were set to, you know, like, advanced growth. Like, they grew faster than regular humans, but still.
Because they're clones.
He still raised 87 sons to be hunters, and then 86 of them were all killed by the other one. And then, his other son told him, like, I want to kill Spider-Man for you, and then I will inherit your kingdom. And that made Kraven, I guess, start thinking about how the Savannah's all messed up, because all these, like, rich assholes from other countries are coming in and shooting the animals. Mm-hmm. So he arranges this whole thing where he, like, goes to a gala or something in New York with all these, like, wannabe hunters who he's invited to fight. He's, like, captured every animal-themed, like, superhero and supervillain in Marvel, and he's got them all in cages, and he's going to have them all fight all of these rich, like, wannabe hunters. So that is the arc that they're going into now, and I don't know why they needed this whole thing with 87 clone sons and there being one of them, because it doesn't seem like he's really a factor, but they take the time to explain all of that as set up for this.
Did they follow any of the now dead sons? Do we have some kind of investment to them?
Nope. No, it's just this one issue, Amazing Spider-Man number 16 / they actually post what the numbers are if they hadn't kept resetting back to one, so this is issue number 817 of Spider-Man. But yeah, current Nick Spencer arc number 16, it's like the first half of the issue is just explaining Kraven's backstory and this thing about another son who killed all these other sons, and then the reveal that all of these animal people he's been capturing over the last few issues are for this big showdown. So yeah, like he's captured like Raven and, or not Raven, Rhino and Scorpion and Black Cat, and jeez, tried to get the Lizard. Really? He's got Spider-Man, they show Puma in there.
I was fitting to say, if he captured Raven, he's really fucking powerful. Crossed over the lines of fucking
reach of comic, I mean, for all I know, they're
over the bounds of rights organization.
For all I know, there is a Marvel's Raven. I mean, they both companies have an Enchantress. It's like both companies have a Captain Marvel. So yeah. Okay, but then we got Riddles. It enters dry in and comes out wet. The longer it stays, the stronger it gets.
Well, Eugene, I don't recommend you put certain things in dry.
Yeah, the whole thing's, it enters dry and comes out wet. The longer it stays, the stronger it gets. Yeah, that sounds like a dick.
Just insert... certain word associations just come in and out for it, so... The problem is, I think I accidentally bumped the thing earlier, so I know what it is. Mm. And it's also his name.
Oh, it's Teabag. Okay, well, that's still dirty.
Yeah.
It's teabagging now.
Exactly.
Okay. How can you leave a room with two legs and return with six legs?
You killed two people and chopped off their legs?
Yeah, I mean, even if you just drag two bodies in, then you got six legs. Yeah. Or something, you something spider.
Turns out you're actually Gregor Samsa, and you're just experiencing the metamorphosis, and you turn into a giant vermin.
Mm. I mean, I guess if you're not a murdering psychopath, you bring a chair with you, is what the answer is.
Damn.
Four-legged damn. Chair.
That, God. I feel silly.
Okay, and then it gives the answer to riddle, but I don't see the riddle, so whatever. Last riddle.
Oh, wait. Hmm? Answer hiccups. Tell the riddle. The
answer to the riddle okay. has to be hiccups. We're doing a backwards riddle. The answer is hiccups.
Okay, let's see.
Does it have to be like a poem riddle? Because I'm not good at making poems on the fly.
I had a friend, and he told me he was low on cups. But that's okay, I told him that what I have. Hiccups.
Mm. Good enough. I was trying to think of a rhyme that would, like... If it had to be a rhyme, I guess we could rhyme it with pickups. But... I don't know. I don't think about hiccups. I haven't had hiccups in... I have no idea how many years. It's been too long.
I feel like I had them recently, but it wasn't, like, long. It was, like, maybe two hiccups, and I was like, oh.
Mm.
Let me hold my breath. And then... Because that's how I've always gotten rid of hiccups, and then, you know, tried not to pass out.
So then, last riddle. David's father has three sons. Snap, Crackle, and Blank. I'm going to say who? Snap, Crackle, and Jeff.
Is David a girl?
Okay, David's father has three sons.
Okay.
Snap, Crackle, and David. Duh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was correct.
Whoop. Yep, here are my sons, Snap, Crackle, and David. Fuck off! Wow.
Yeah. Why did he name his son Snap and Crackle?
Thanks, Eugene.
Mm.
Those lighten the mood.
Okay, hi, yeah, so that's all we got for questions. We got 30 minutes left, and you had a Goodwill story?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's not as much a story. Hang on, let me grab my phone.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I found some neat stuff at Goodwill recently. One thing of which was this, pretty much a bowl made of, like, large popsicle sticks, except it was, like, a hexagon, so there was, like, a bottom layer, and then it, like, got wider as it goes out, so.
Okay.
And that was $2, and I'm like, man, someone put way more than $2 of effort worth into this. I'm like, I'm totally gonna buy this and roll dice in it for no other reason other than I can. But at a different Goodwill, there was... I always look at the furniture in the Goodwills, even if I'm not gonna go get it, but there was this, sofa love seat combination that if I had the space for it and I had, you know, spare $26 at the time, I'd have probably just gotten it because it's this leather material that's this, like, corn or mustard yellow.
Yeah, that's really bright and it does look like corn. It's got, like, the texture of corn.
Exactly. It's got the exact texture of corn.
So you could have had the corn couches.
Corn couch. Mm. The cornch. Another thing that I randomly popped up in a feed of mine was someone who I know was at a church, and there was this random little piece of art on one of the walls. And it's kind of menacing when you really think about it. Like, it's the cat in the hat next to obey, to the word obey? Like, at a church? Like,
yeah. Is
the cat in the hat gonna come and destroy me if I don't? Someone else had a pretty good joke of, like, oh man, Shepherd Fairey's work really went downhill. Because that's the guy who made the Andre the Giant obey image. So... There's that. But yeah, that was all of the extent of my Goodwill stories that I had proper. So I saw some corn couches, and only other thing I had was I found this cursed image that apparently actually exists in someone's church somewhere. Mm. So
yeah, I mean, I believe it. You know, anything that has the word obey on it, they get slapped upon the walls.
Yep. What's worse is my wife's pretty religious grandmother, who I know on Facebook, she, like, that's something she liked, like a picture she liked of mine, because I made a profile picture of mine, and I was like, you rarely like anything I have, but you like this random picture of the Cat in the Hat next to the word obey, and I didn't provide the context, just like...
So she's in on the meaning they were trying to deliver.
She's gotta be. Mind you, she lives like two states away, so like it's not like she goes to that same church.
Nah, she knows that the Cat in the Hat is a religious icon. He's like a holy priest.
Yeah, that hat, it's actually the new Pope hat.
Yeah.
It's got like stripes on it. Can I actually ask you a side question?
Okay.
I don't know if you want to hang on to this, but I know FDP is on hiatus currently. Yep. Is it just because you guys just haven't had the time to get together to record something?
Sean had a lot of personal stuff going on that event. It got resolved earlier in the year, but you know, Kirstein's also having stuff going on, so... Once that resolves, then hopefully we'll be able to get back on it. Like, I know Sean has some plans for how to end it. Like, I'm excited to get back into playing a lot. Like, I've put Elisa into other stories just so I can keep playing her.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm excited to get back to core Elisa and resolve her story.
Well, I missed it, and I was just a little confused because I feel like I haven't been, like, I lurk a whole hell of a lot more than I ever post, but I've just been falling off on my own projects, not keeping up with anybody, much less the funky chat community people, so I feel like I'm out of the loop more often than I ought to be.
Yeah, no, I mean, the community has definitely shifted, especially over the last couple seasons. Like, it's weird, you know, like, I see Miran around on Twitter, but it's like, never hear from him anymore, and like Brightmarsh completely vanished a couple of years ago. Like, he was like so much a part of everything back when we started, and haven't seen or heard anything from him since. Oh well. I mean, I can't really share details on it, but I know Skitch has a lot of plans for Shardpoint, so.
Right. I saw that meme he posted where it was like, where it was Fred running into Velma. He's like, Velma! What are you doing here? I don't know. And he's like, if I run more Shardpoint, it might be like this. So I get the feeling like, oh, random characters from the show, from different, it'll be like the Forrest Gump of the Dice Funk universe. You'll just be going through some part and, oh, someone important from some other part will show up and be cool.
Yeah, I mean, this...
That's what I took that as, but I don't know if that's what he means.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about, like, cameos from existing characters, but there are definitely a lot of, like, plans for plot threads, and, it sounds like Austin is definitely on board with wanting to get more episodes of Shardpoint out, probably because, I mean, it gives him something of a break from, you know, having to come up with stuff for the regular show, I guess. So there's definitely more Shardpoint coming in the future, and it's still the one shot format, but otherwise, you know, it's still gonna be like as fun as the first one, I think.
Mm-hmm. So. I enjoyed the first one. It was good. I enjoyed Scoops. I enjoyed Scoops a lot.
Yeah, it's like I mentioned that because I feel like the first Shardpoint felt. I don't know if it really is, but it felt like the spirit of. The way Dice Funk was back when it started, like it felt like season 3 though it was going through a tonal shift, which became more apparent in seasons 4 and 5. Just like heavier topics. Although I do like season, yeah, like I like season 5 more than 4. Like 4 is where things start to get into like heavier topics. And season 5 kind of has that but not as bad. So
I think I'm 3 episodes behind as of right now. So I missed I have not yet listened to the Babies episode, so I'm looking forward to hearing that too. But I think back when... Spoilers for Dice Funk. But if you're listening to this, you undoubtedly listen to Dice Funk already.
Probably should be, or if you're not, then I guess at this point you don't care. So,
I'm at the part where Olivia just got taken back to Drift Park. Isn't that the name of the place? What's the name of the... Some park. I don't remember what the name of it is.
Yeah,
And Cassius... He's... He's breathing.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, Drift Park?
Drift Park. Yeah. That's what it is. I'm back there.
He's breathing, and then Austin caught the disease, too, and had to take a week off. This has a bit more of an Elisa menace to it. It's not quite what he is. Austin's Cassius voice doesn't sound as menacing. It sounds more just like a person with a very raspy voice.
Yes. It's more intent without as much of a focus on... It's really hard to do, like, a raspy voice without doing, like, focused S's.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it's like when I do it, it automatically dips into either, like, Elisa or Palpatine kind of sinister tones to it. Because that's just... If I dip into that raspiness, it just comes out like that. But, yeah, like, Austin's Cassius, definitely, it's like... It's raspy, but he sounds like just a guy talking raspy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Brent knows there's a character on the show I make also called Brent.
Mm. Yeah, I started listening to... I saw your latest episode. Like, I listened to part of it, but then I paused it, and then when I unpaused it, Podbean screwed up, and it was just... Huh. Like, the timeline was going, but it wasn't playing. So...
Yep.
But... I heard part of one, so I heard the name Brent come up.
The last time when I think I was going to be on, it was going to be like a three-person one between him, you, and me. And I was like, oh, Brent, there's a character named after you. But Brent couldn't be on that time, so it was just us again. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, then he wasn't available that time, yeah.
Hey, Jade. Why did folk ask Pokemon stupid shite? Like, you're getting strong, aren't you?
I shut up, I got to go cash this donkey. Although, I mean, with Pokemon UK, I'm still hoping that we get an evolution line that is a teacup that turns into a teapot.
Right. I saw some joke Pokemon that was like, it looks like a bobby, essentially, so like, it looks like a British police officer, and it's like, the first one is like tiny hat, is like, well, well, and then its evolution is like a little taller and it's got one truncheon and says, what's all, for the second one. And then the third one just really tall, has two truncheons and like big muscles and it's Disden.
Was that the image that also had the like a Big Ben Pokemon?
Like,
I remember there was like a bus and then a double-decker bus and there was like a Ben and then Big Ben and then Bigger Ben.
I don't know. I saw this one like on its own. I don't know if I could find it because I wouldn't even know what to look for. Because there's no way What's All Disden actually shows up for anything for Pokemon currently. But.
Yeah, I mean, in Alola they did have a living like flower necklace, and they had a sandcastle that was a Pokemon.
I love how people are making jokes like, oh, Pokemon Gun! I just found one that's Pokemon Trebuchet!
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be armor. And not that they do third versions anymore. Now they do, like, double versions, so it'll be, like, Shining Sword and Shimmering Shield. But, if they were going to do a three, I would think Sword, Shield, and Armor.
Right.
But Gun has been the meme that got picked up by some newspaper in some Spanish-speaking country, and like they posted it on there, like, new Pokemon games announced, and then they had the picture of Sword, Shield, and Gun.
Nah, I can't find it. Oh, shit! Yes, there it is! Holy shit! I just randomly was like, oh, I don't see it at all. Here we go. It's the well one. Here we go.
Yeah, like the one I saw, I don't remember if it was on Twitter or... Yeah, that one looks legit. I mean, legit. It's got the Pokemon cuteness to it.
Exactly. Oh, I had something else. That's something else random I was going to say, but I've lost it now.
Yeah, I think the only other topic I've got is that I, on a whim, decided to buy a compilation of the first Ninja Turtles comics. Ooh. So I just read the first one, and yeah, it's more violent and also sillier than I was led to believe based on things people have said about these early Ninja Turtles comics.
It's the black and white ones by IDW, was it, or was it some other publisher?
I think it was independent Mirage Studios, but now IDW has the printing rights to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, I found out, like, one of the guys it was, like, two guys working on it. One of them was from Maine, and the other one was from New Hampshire, and that they, like, moved into a house in New Hampshire, and they called it Mirage Studio, because the studio was a mirage, it was really just their living room. And they made the Ninja Turtles comic, which, I mean, it definitely feels like a parody of Frank Miller's Daredevil. Like, if you know anything about Ninja Turtles, you probably know that their origin is tied in with the Daredevil origin. So,
like, the thing that blinds Daredevil is also the goo that gets in the sewer that mutates the turtles, I think.
Yeah, and that's one of the parts that was sillier than I thought, because it's like, they show a young man who jumps to save an old man from a truck, and then he gets hit in the head with this canister, which bounces down the street and hits a jar of turtles, which a kid is carrying. Like, I thought the turtles were already in the sewer, but no, the kid had a jar of turtles, and this bouncing canister hit the jar, and the turtles and the canister all fell down an open manhole cover, or not a cover, there's no cover, it's an open manhole. Right. They all fall in, the goo spills out, the turtles all get drenched in it, and then Splinter, who had been going through the sewer, picks them all up, and in the process also brushes by the goo. So that's what starts mutating all of them. But
So in the original, Splinter is just a rat, right?
Splinter was a rat who belonged to a martial arts assassin. There was this guy named Hamato Yoshi, right, who was part of the Foot Clan in Japan, and he was like a master assassin. And he and this other guy, what's his name? Osaki Nagi? Oroku Nagi.
Oroku Saki?
Yeah, Oroku Nagi and Hamato Yoshi were both part of the Foot Clan, and they were both interested in this woman named Tang Shen, but she only was interested in Yoshi. She didn't like this Nagi guy. So the Nagi guy started beating her, and Yoshi came in and... Yeah, so then Yoshi came in and murdered Nagi, and then got together with Tang Shen, but because he had murdered a fellow Foot Clan member, he was exiled, so they both moved to New York with Splinter, who had been, like, watching Yoshi, so that's how he learned martial arts from watching that guy. But then Nagi's son, Saki, younger brother, Saki, okay, I thought it was his son, his younger brother, saw that, you know, his older brother had been murdered, so he trained with the Foot Clan to get his revenge, and then he became the Shredder, came to New York, murdered Tang Shen, Yoshi walks in, and then Shredder murders him too, but then Splinter broke out of his cage and went to the sewer and found these rats and found these turtles, and then trained them into ninjas so they could get revenge and kill Shredder, which is, like, the entire first comic is just that story. Like, at the end, they get Shredder to fight on a rooftop, they fight a whole bunch of Foot Clan guys, and then they're beating Shredder, but Shredder doesn't want to, you know... okay, and then they give him a sword and tell him the only way to redeem your honor is to commit seppuku. So they try to get him to kill himself, but instead, he pulls out a thermite grenade, so they knock him off the roof before the grenade can go off. So he falls, and then the grenade explodes, so he explodes off the roof. But he is dead. And then that's the end of the first story. So Shredder didn't live past the first issue of the comic.
Yeah.
And then the second comic introduces Baxter Stockman, who's building the Mouser robots. April is his lab assistant, but then she finds out that he's using... He makes the robots to be like rat catchers, but then he's also using them to steal money from banks. And April finds out, so he dumps her in the sewer and sends the Mousers to kill her, and then the turtles save her. I haven't finished reading that one yet, but... Yeah, no, and it looks like I've kind of flipped ahead. The Krang appear in, like, the third or fourth issue wow. of the comic. Wow. So, and then, like, Casey that Jones appears in this, the Turtles like, universe. Raphael Jeez. Spinoff that was pretty... So, it's like, they wrote all these, I assume not knowing about the franchise that was going to develop, but they're just, like, throwing in all their best ideas one issue after the next. Like, the stuff that stuck came out pretty early.
Yeah. Are the...
I think I saw Bebop and Rocksteady toward, like...
Are they in there?
Yep,
or is that just
the
version in the 2003?
Like, toward issue 6 or 7, because this volume goes up to issue 7, there's a bunch of Triceratops guys, so that's probably the one.
Wow. Okay. Wow. The main Turtles media I've seen is the 2003 series, I think. I think that was what it's from. And that's
yeah,
the one that,
the
like,
four
starts
kids
off
one.
With... Yeah, the four kids one.
Yeah, the one that uses all the shell puns.
Yeah, uses all the shell puns.
Yeah,
don't they,
what the shell?
Do they not all use shell puns? Is the 80s series not full of shell puns?
I think the 2003 one was more notorious that they for using like what the shell a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Just like shell to replace hell. And they just, like, threw that in everywhere.
I don't ever remember them actually using, like, Krang specifically, but I remember in that series there were an alien race called Utroms or something that pretty much looked like Krang. And they also had bodies that, they had, like, mechanical bipedal bodies that they sat in, like Krang does.
Yeah, I mean, that's in this comic, too. Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, the Krang, there's like there's like three of them when they first show them, and they are riding around in like human-sized robot bodies.
Yeah, and it turned out like in that series, the Shredder they knew was just an evil Utrom, i.e. an evil Krang creature, and then like they travel back in time and meet the real Shredder, and it was... That series got wacky. But I guess they all derive from the same wacky-ass source, so...
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole concept is wacky. It's turtles who are ninjas. Yeah.
Well,
and we're closing in on 2 hours, so...
Yeah, I should probably go eat the Chinese that my friend got for me. So, I guess this is adieu until next time?
Yep.
Assumedly in
schedule an appointment for 3 months, yeah.
Your regularly scheduled check-in has gone just fine, Jade. This podcast seems to be in good health. I'm no podcast doctor. Mine is very sickly. Sorry, okay.
Yeah, I mean, mine's more or less an audio diary at this point. That people listen to for some reason.
Are not all podcasts some form of audio diary that just people can access?
Yeah.
Well, it's been good talking in your diary with you today.
Yeah. So until next time, stay funky.